Welcome to Netflix and Spill, episode 3. This week's going to be a little bit different. It's titled BBC Bangers. So we're talking about, all programmes on the BBC. It's quite wide-ranging, which I realised while I was researching is I've forgotten how much stuff the BBC alone puts out and has been putting out for like 50 years. So there's no way on earth we're going to be able to get through everything. Or even half of it, probably. We're just going to talk about the things that we like and dislike. Have a few more existential questions about the BBC. Put a poll on Instagram like I usually do. All that good stuff coming later in the show. I am, of course, joined by Ella Macharevich, but instead of my housemate, she's gone home. She's left me. And she's joining us from Sheffield on Zoom. Oh, release your location.
Hi, well, you should. I don't know why I'm waving like I know people could see me.
This is a podcast.
Yeah, but no, I feel like people can probably guess from my accent anyway, so don't worry, no data protection has been breached. But yes, hi guys, hope you're all well.
Yeah, so there's a bit of news for me is that I'm going to be BBC Five Live on Friday the 2nd of April, or I think it's going to be the morning of the Saturday, I think. So Saturday the 3rd. Between 1 and 4 a.m. with Dotun Adebayo talking about just everything student, really. I don't know exactly. Last time it was quite abstract. It was good fun, but it was quite abstract. And like, I think he called it the student club or something, or the student nightclub or something like that. It's a little segment. And I was joined by a few other students. It's good fun, a really good experience for me. If you want to listen to that, please do. Moving on, TV news. Now, I didn't actually ask you to prepare any because I forgot, but I did my own. Do you have any?
I don't know if this counts as news, but it's a show coming on Netflix next week, but it's actually not a show, it's a film. Do we talk about films?
Yeah. Not really, but go on.
Basically, I just thought, I don't know, it was the most relevant one, even though I've not seen it myself. But this week, the film Castaway is coming on Netflix. The one with Tom Hanks where he gets cast away on an island.
I haven't, but I've heard about it.
Yeah.
And they have to like survive, don't they?
No, he's on his own. And he finds a football or a beach ball or something and he draws a face on it. And that's how he keeps himself sane by sort of making friends with this ball and calling it Wilson, I think it's called. Mm. Anyway, I haven't seen it, so I don't know. Apart from that, I read that there's a new documentary with Louis Theroux and Carole Baskin from Tiger King.
My God, what? Yeah. When? This is iconic news.
I don't know. It was a headline, but I didn't click on it. So apologies for the poor research. But yeah, wow. that's in the pipeline.
The co-host of a show all about TV and won't even click on the headlines about TV. Lovely. I've got a few bits of news, mainly on Netflix because of the way they pump stuff out. Nothing about Amazon Prime really this week. Nothing's really going on over there TV-wise. I think they're focusing on movies quite a lot, actually, especially recently. But Money Heist Season 5 is set to be released in July, they've announced. As filming is just finished and post-production is the only thing to go. For people that don't know, this is a Spanish program that has English subtitles and it holds the record for the most watched non-English title on Netflix, with the last season, season 4, getting 65 million views. Damn. And it sounds exactly like what it is. I've only watched season 1, but they rob a bank. That's all I'm going to say. I don't want to spoil anything. I thought it was okay when I watched it. I actually didn't think it was amazing. I didn't think 3 seasons later it'd be getting 65 million views. So that's crazy.
Yeah, I agree. I watched a couple of seasons and it was okay. But like you said, I didn't really expect anything huge like that to come from it. I thought, I don't know, it was kind of forgettable for me, to be honest. But I don't know, maybe that's just because that kind of thing's not really my thing.
Yeah, I think I might have to give it a second shot, because when I watched it on a Netflix watch party with my ex-girlfriend, and that relationship went bad. So maybe I was, you know, I thought of Money Heist as bad. So why are you looking at me like that? I'm associating this.
She's not listening.
Oh, she won't be. And no one knows who she is anyway, unless they know who I am.
Yeah, but it's not nice for her to hear. Anyway.
Well, I don't think it's news to her that the relationship didn't end very well. Otherwise, it wouldn't have ended.
Okay. We're sort of going off topic here.
Yeah. You're looking behind the curtain here, and that Ella is actually my girlfriend, so...
Spoiler.
David Attenborough, sorry, his next docu-series, actually, sorry, is coming onto Netflix on the 22nd of April. It's called Life in Colour, and it is all about how colour is used in animal interaction and how vital that is. Cool. It's a joint enterprise with BBC, so a little good little tie-in there. Not on the usual sort of the world is going to die and here's a load of pictures to show how great it is and here's a load of pictures seeing how it's going to die. It's maybe a little bit more optimistic. Not that those are bad, they're obviously all amazing, but it's a different vibe. Afterlife Series 3, which was immediately commissioned after Season 2, was released last year. Production is starting in April and writing is just being finished up at the moment. And the final season of the show is likely to be dropped late 2021 or early 2022. I've watched Afterlife Season 1 and most of Season 2. I couldn't finish it. It was so boring.
Really?
I loved it. There was no need for a second series to that programme. One was more than enough.
To be honest, I can't distinguish between the two. But I really loved watching them all. I binged it, watched it, I think. Watched it all at once, because it's just like, again, it's that sort of the British television of, like, you know, touching on such serious but relatable topics and also managing to somehow make it slightly funny, which I like.
It had
some funny bits in it.
Really? I literally can't remember one. I don't remember laughing once
like
in that
postman, show. Like the postman who's, like, weird and funny.
Oh, I don't like him. His name's Joe Wilkerson, which happens to be my name. Yeah, the postman. Yeah, he's a comedian.
I watched it over a year ago. Oh, wow.
He's on 8 out of 10 cats as well, and he's rubbish, if anyone that watches that. Anyway, another tangent, lovely.
Oh, whilst we're still on news, I saw that, I don't know if this is news or people already knew this, but Season 3 of You is coming out next month on Netflix, so in April, which is quite exciting, because I only just watched the second series and I was hooked. I watched it in the Christmas holidays, actually.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. I think I watched it, I watched Season 2 when it came out, and I watched Season 1, like, ages ago. And I loved it. I mean, a lot of people really, really, really don't like it and think it's stupid, but I really enjoyed it. And I didn't know that, actually, that was going to be out next April. Need to keep on top of it a little bit more. Last bit of news is Harry Potter star David Thewlis, who played Lupin, and he's been in a couple of other things like Fargo, has been announced as the co-star with Olivia Colman, her I do know, for the upcoming drama on HBO/Sky. The new show is called Landscapers, and it follows the story of Susan and Christopher Edwards, who both kill Susan's mum and dad and bury them in their garden. And they get away with it for 15 years. It's based on a true story, so looking forward to that. I think it's coming out like next year or something, but interesting to hear that he's going to be on it. Anyway.
Actually, sorry, on that, someone I know's friend, so it's a bit of it's not a tight connection, but they're in that show too, because I posted about it on Instagram.
How is this relevant?
Which is exciting. Sorry?
How is this relevant to this show?
Because someone's acting in it that I know through someone else.
Well, we'll get them on in 2 years' time.
Yeah.
Because this show will definitely still be running. What are we watching at the moment? I thought maybe we'll say that again. Obviously, we talked about it a little bit. Just a short rundown of what we're watching.
So at the moment, still, you know, plodding on with Grey's, getting very dramatic as always, loving it. I'm also watching This Is Us. I've probably mentioned that before, but the new episode's just come out in the UK. So if you watch that, get watching the latest episode. What else am I watching? I don't know. Do you know what? I gave Gogglebox a watch last weekend, and I've not watched it for ages. And I forgot how funny it was. It was really funny.
So good.
And it sort of, I like it because it sort of gives you an overview of sort of all the TV that's going on. It gives you the best sort of snippets of it. So yeah, I quite enjoyed that. I think maybe we should make that a thing that we watch so that we can sort of talk about other shows.
But we can synthesize them just from Gogglebox.
Yeah, well, what have you been watching?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I need a new series. Because obviously watching Grey's in the house at the moment. But, you know, I finished The Thick of it like last week, didn't I? And then I just felt lost. It's all about how I always feel after finishing a TV show. I just feel lost to the world. I think my plan is to watch Cecil's Haunted Hotel or whatever it's called
for our
episode next week. So I was actually going to propose this to you off air, but I'll do it on air, is that we watch it all this week. I'm not sure how many episodes there are, if that's possible, and then we produce an extra episode where we sort of give our thoughts and feelings on it.
Yeah,
that break it down.
That's next week.
Yeah, so maybe after next week's show, so it gives us a little bit of extra time. And our plans for Easter, we sort of hinted at them there, is that we still want to try and release stuff weekly. I'm enjoying it, and I think Ella's enjoying it.
Yeah.
I really like talking about it. There's so much to talk about. And obviously, term is going to come up on us quicker than we'd like. And it's both our final years here. So, you know, we want to get as much good content out as we can. And if people want to listen, then that's even better. They are going to start going up on Audioboom. We're just waiting for a graphic to come out to make it look all cool. But I might release them anyway without the graphic, and I'll change them actually. So they'll be coming out over the weekend. Yeah.
Sorry, I've just thought as well, I have started watching on Netflix Firefly Lane. And,
oh yeah, I've heard of it.
It's got Katherine Heigl in from Greg Gatsby. And also, I don't know the actress's name, but she's in Scrubs. And she plays Ted's girlfriend in How I Met Your Mother as well.
Stella, yeah.
I like that. It jumps about in time, similar to This Is Us, but it's about these two women's friendship and sort of what they go through as youths and then their adulthood. And yeah, I really enjoy it. It's got some quite dark, but then light moments as well. So if you're into something a bit, I don't know, if you want to watch something that's quite like relatable, but also a bit of drama to it as well, then I recommend that. I'm enjoying it at the moment.
Nice. Let's move on a little bit to the actual topic of the show, which is BBC Bangers. We're not going to be taking on another channel like this. Obviously, we did US sitcoms last week. We're going to keep more to genres, but the BBC, I think, is just... We are obviously British, and the BBC is the most British thing I can think of. It's a nice ode to it, doing an episode on it. There's so much on it. It brings up some actually really good topics of conversation about TV that are going on right now. And I guess I'll open up with a question to you, Ella, and I vaguely know the answer to this, but do you watch live TV anymore?
Very rarely. I'd say the last thing I watched live was probably Bake Off, the Celebrity Bake Off. Maybe that wasn't even live, you know. So no, I'm going to say not often at all now. Do you?
No, I don't. I watch sport live, but I don't think that really counts. And then Gogglebox. And that's when I'm at home, not when I'm at uni. That's it. Those are the only things I watch live. You know, Match of the Day, I don't think really counts. Watching Sport Live, again, I don't want it, doesn't really count. And that, I think, is a minor, it's quite a big hindrance to the BBC. Most of, you know, it's a live channel. It's not Netflix, Amazon Prime. Yes, they have BBC iPlayer, but they want to get as many views as they can into, you know, live on TV, people watching it at the same time. They still get quite big viewing figures in sport, but other than that, the figures are going down. I mean, you can see that on all channels. They peaked for the Oprah interview with Harry and Meghan, but apart from that, they've really not been getting the views that they, you know, obviously used to back when there weren't as many channels, no on-demand stuff and all that kind of good stuff. And leading on from that, I think obviously BBC iPlayer is a great thing, but it's not Netflix. I personally, this is just a sort of a little addendum. I think BBC iPlayer is quite difficult to navigate for a number of reasons. One, when things are live, you can't watch them until like 24 hours after they go live because they want to encourage you to watch them live. Quite a lot of the time, Match of the Day, for example, is on Saturday and you can't watch it until Monday.
Oh, I don't know if that's... When I watched Apprentice last year, we'd always watch it about 10 minutes after it started. And we'd
to be fair, it might be other programmes, but definitely some of them you can't watch a little bit later. That's irritating.
Yeah,
BBC iPlayer, I think, in general, is quite difficult to navigate as a platform. Just trying to find anything is quite difficult. I don't think they break it down into genres very well. I think it's all pointed towards trying to get you to watch live stuff, and I don't think that's the way that the BBC should be going. And finally, they take stuff off there quite quickly. Most of the stuff on there is only on there for a couple of months, 3 months, something like that, unless they're like historical things like TV that's on or in now will be off again in like 2 or 3 months. And that's not the way of the world anymore for the BBC. People don't watch things the day they come out as much. Only the real big trends, you know, the Tiger Kings, the Last Dance, Money Heist, for example. A lot of people watched that when that came out. You know, all those things that people watch straight away after they come out, that's not a big thing anymore. A lot of people have like lists that they have, and that can sometimes span up to 3 or 4 months, you know, 6 months, depending on how much stuff is on the list. You know, I know people with massive, massive lists. So I think that could really come to hurt them. And thinking about all that, this is a broader question that encapsulates ITV and Channel 4. Is that, do you think that the license fee is worth it? And I put this on Twitter, on Instagram as a poll on Your Own's Instagram. Follow it at yourown1350.net. It's £157.50 a year, right? The license. Yeah. So if you split that down to £15 a month, roughly, it's about 13, but 15 is an easier number. Would you pay £15 a month for BBC, ITV, Channel 4, and all those other channels with the on-demand as well, so the iPlayer, the 4OD and all that stuff? Would you pay for all of that for £15 a month if you didn't have to pay the license fee? As in, would you choose purposely to pay that £15 for those effectively a new streaming service? Would you pay that?
What's the question? I don't understand what you mean. Are you saying, would you rather pay the license fee or £15 a month? Because isn't that the same thing?
No, as in this scenario, there's no license fee. So you don't have to pay for it. You don't have to have it to watch live TV. This is purely for BBC, Channel 4 and ITV. If you had the choice, would you pay £15 a month for it?
If I did, would I still have to watch adverts?
I think live stuff would have adverts, but then the on-demand stuff would have no adverts, would be probably what would happen.
I don't know. I mean, it's a tough one because obviously, like Channel 4 and ITV, like we don't have to pay for because they have advertisements. So, but then I don't know because I think it also depends, like, say if you split it between a household of six people, that's what, less than £3 a month. So in that case, yes, I'd definitely pay that. But if it's £15 a month to pay for these things that I don't need to pay for anyway, then no. Well, probably not. I don't know. It depends, because then obviously you've got, you're paying for Netflix, you're paying for Amazon Prime. So it's just another one onto the bill, isn't it? I think at that point, I'd have to sort of look at it, look at all of them and think, right, okay, what do I want to prioritise here? Because realistically, like, a lot of people won't be able to afford all of the streaming things if that's included too. Because, you know, there are loads, aren't there? There's like Hulu and Apple and... Is BritBox a thing?
Yeah, BritBox is a thing. But I think the point of the question is you're already paying £15 a month, give or take, for this stuff, and you already have Netflix and Prime. Would you rather save the money or pay for these things? Do you think it's worth it?
Well, I don't understand the question. What do you mean I'm already paying for it?
Well, you're already paying the licence fee at the moment.
Yeah.
Right, for TV.
It's just for TV, though. That's just for the BBC.
Yeah, but you get live TV with it, don't you? It's just live TV.
Yeah.
That's what you pay for. I'm saying now the licence fee doesn't exist and you're paying £15 a month for a streaming service with live stuff that is a BBC, Channel 4 and ITV all in one. Are you paying for that stuff?
So if you don't pay for it, you can't watch any of that stuff?
You can't watch it, but you can still watch, like, I don't know, other programs that aren't those ones that are free.
I don't know. It depends. I'd probably end up paying for it, because between those three sort of networks, I think there are too many things that I'd want to watch on there to not pay. So yeah, I'd say yeah, I would. What about you?
Oh, I thought that would take like 2 minutes. I hope people understood on Instagram. Well, people answered it on the poll, but I would, I think I would pay for it. I think there's enough good stuff on the BBC. Although you're saying that, I don't watch anything now. I maybe watch the past stuff. I don't know. It's very difficult because I don't really think I watch a lot of the stuff they're releasing now and all the reality stuff and the documentaries and stuff. I watch more of the historical stuff. So I think it's hard for me to say. Probably would, just because it's not too expensive, and as you say, if you share it as a house, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
But versus Netflix and Prime, or Prime, you have the delivery, so it's a bit of a different story. But compared to Netflix, it just doesn't have the same catalogue, and it's not worth the same, in my opinion. And this has been something that's been raging for ages, about people saying, you shouldn't have to pay the licence fee, I would never pay for BBC and stuff. So I thought it was interesting to hear our takes. And I wanted to hear people on Instagram's takes. And can you guess what they said?
So how did you word the question, can I ask?
I said, would you pay £15 a month for BBC, ITV and Channel 4 live and on demand if there was no licence fee?
I think it would have been... And is it just yes or no?
Yes or no, yeah.
I think it would have been quite split, you know. 55 yes, 45 no.
It's actually 75% no, 25% yes. Ooh. Obviously, we're followed by many students and the younger crowd, and I feel like BBC is quite traditional. It's our parents' generation, I'd say, that are really invested in BBC. My parents, I mean, my mum works in TV, so like, and English TV, so like, obviously, she would watch it, but like, my dad would still pay for it, I reckon, just because that's their stuff. They're always looking for good stuff on the BBC, whereas for me, I always think, yeah, the BBC, like nowadays, and I, you know, that's bad of me to say, but I always think, it's on the BBC, not gonna have as good production value and as big a budget as Netflix. I'll just go watch something on Netflix. So I think it is interesting. But yeah, we'll be having polls on every week, and I think it's a conversation that's raging in TV at the moment. And I know that BBC are quite worried about Netflix and stuff. That's why they're taking their stuff down from Netflix and setting up a rival BritBox, because they just don't have the same budgets or anywhere near the same budget as a Netflix. This follows on to a different question. Obviously, the BBC don't specialise. They do documentaries, they do comedies, they do they do like game shows, they do, you know, like MasterChef, Apprentice, they do dramas, they do crime shows, they do Top Gear, all that stuff. But, you know, they have to spread themselves quite wide and maybe a bit too wide. Do you think they'd be better if they specialised and became, I don't know, the docuseries channel or the crime channel or whatever? Or do you think it's an asset that they have so much different stuff?
Yeah, I think, I don't know. I would have thought it was an asset that they had such a broad range, because like when you said docuseries, I immediately thought Channel 4. They do, you know, Channel 4 documentaries, like that's sort of their tagline, if you will. ITV, I don't really know. I think they do similar sort of stuff. But yeah, like with BBC, I don't know. It's a tough one. I think with those sort of three channels.
Sorry, this is just the BBC.
It's the BBC.
Yeah.
What was the question?
This is a professional show, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry. I'll just say now, Zoom sounds easy to do, but there's always delays and stuff. So sorry if we don't quite get things first time. I'm asking the BBC, just the BBC, it doesn't specialise. It has a wide range of stuff that it puts out. Do you think it would benefit from being the crime channel or the comedy channel or the documentaries channel or the drama channel? Because we know, you know, Sky have like 20 different channels for all the different stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, Channel 4, as you said, specialised more like documentary type things. It does have its own other stuff. It's hard to think of my feet right now, but like, you know, Dave kind of did comedy stuff. What was it called? Comedy Central is obviously comedy. Disney is doing the children's shows, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, to be honest, I think it's been the way that it has for so long that it would be quite hard for them to specialise, I think. So I'd say, I don't know. I think because the real, like you said, they are worried about Netflix. So, you know, if they were to try and specialise into something, that wouldn't really solve the Netflix problem. I think, I don't know what they'd have to do differently, but I wouldn't say that would be it. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think specialising would work. I think they just put themselves into an even more of a niche and wouldn't get the views that they do. I think people like to go on BBC and see, oh, what's on today on the BBC or what's on tonight at the BBC. Or, you know, if they've got loads of different programmes, chances are people have favourites and they'll go on there for those programmes. And also the BBC was built on all these programmes. The reason why it has so many programmes is because it's so old. Back when there are only three or four channels, you know, they had to make everything because there weren't enough channels to make. They couldn't specialise because there weren't enough channels for each to specialise. So they've grown up on this kind of catch-all system and it's worked a treat for them. And, you know, even though we're saying they might be doing badly against Netflix, they're still doing well. They're still very successful. I could name a whole load of shows that they do at the moment that are still very, very popular. And I think, you know, diversification can only be a good thing. And I would hate to see them go down a Disney-style route, you know, and specialising. They just do, like, superheroes and children's stuff. And I don't want them to do that necessarily because they have so many different things that are so good and they're so creative with what they do. So I definitely wouldn't want that. I think moving on a little bit, what is your favourite BBC show of all time? I'll give you a moment to think. I think I have three that I can think of. One is Top Gear. I loved that as a kid. And I even loved it up until, I mean, I'm one of those guys, yes. I loved it up until Clarkson, May and Hammond left. And then I didn't like it as much. I didn't mind it. The first season when they left was terrible. But then after that, it's been okay. It's been a bit ups and downs. It's not as funny, it's not as good, but it's still okay. And I do really enjoy it, and I thought it was incredible. I like Blackadder. I was a really big fan of it. Watched all four series. I think I binged them a couple of years ago. Loved it. Really funny. Rowan Atkinson at his best. Not amazing rewatch value, I don't think, but still loved it. And Sherlock. Those ones I could think of off the top of my head when I was researching this. Sherlock, I mean, that just blew up. That was massive at the time. I think it's so clever. We'll talk a little bit more about it later. But those are my three. What are yours?
Oh, it's so tough, like, of all time. Okay, so I'm going to start with EastEnders.
EastEnders, I mean, it's one of their biggest shows ever.
Yeah, and, I don't watch it anymore, but I used to watch it when I was probably about as young as 10. I would watch it religiously every week, and I was so into it and I loved it for a good few years, I think. And I really loved EastEnders, and I like that they've brought back a few of the original characters now. But yeah, so I'm gonna say that as one of them. I had one in my mind and it's just gone. I do like Strictly Come Dancing as well, the competition.
Going for the classic shows.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. That's sort of what I associate BBC One with, like classic shows, because, you know, they do have a lot of them. Oh, Miranda. It's got to be Miranda. I can't believe it was out over 10 years ago now, but me and my best friend used to watch it over and over, and we just laugh the same amount every time, and it's just so funny and relatable and goofy, and it's just feel good telly, isn't it?
Don't know, I never watched it. Sorry, she was giving me a look there, the listeners can't really hear. It's because I quote it all the time, and she says she watches it over and over again, but she doesn't know any of the quotes.
Yeah, but that was like over 10 years ago.
Well, it was like 5 years ago for me, at least. Probably longer, like 8.
Can I also add a few as well? One. Well,
all of them are your favourites.
What, the shows?
Yeah.
No, Killing Eve.
I was going to say Killing Eve. I'm surprised you didn't say that. We had Helen Black on a couple of weeks ago, and she was raving about Killing Eve. Very popular show, obviously, with Sandra Oh, I believe is her name. Yeah, you had another one? Last one.
Hustle. Did you ever watch Hustle?
No, I've never watched that.
So, it was basically about, like, I think it was a team of, like, 5 or 6 people. And what they would do is, like, find some, like, bad, like, corrupt rich person. For example, like, a businessman or something that does like dodgy deals, and they'd like set him up or her. So they'd like act as, you know, whatever characters they needed to sort of like, set him in a trap. But it was very cleverly done. And you sort of, as the audience, you don't really find out how they did it until the end, when they sort of show the behind the scenes bit. So it's really clever though. I enjoyed watching that.
Yeah. That sounds like a good show, actually. I might give it a try.
Yeah, no, it is really good. You'd enjoy it.
And do you think that the BBC's heyday is over? It's prime, you know, where it was putting out bangers. Is that over? Is it only downhill now for the BBC?
No, I don't think so. I think that, you know, it's iconic, and it's...
But all the shows you mentioned were in the past, pretty much. I'm not sure about Killing Eve. I think that might be still going on. But apart from that, I feel like most of the shows are done.
I think that's the thing with BBC One, is that a lot of the things that they produce are like maybe like 3 or 4 parters. You know, it might not be a long-standing EastEnders one, but I do think they've still got a lot going for them, I do. And I know the ones that I've said are older, but that's because, you know, that was when I used to watch it live on TV, say at home at my parents' house. Like now I think as students, we just don't watch live TV as much. So I think if I did watch more TV in general, I probably would watch more current BBC One shows.
But in saying that, aren't you, for you at least, BBC's heyday's ended because you don't watch it anymore. I don't watch it anymore. Like, I don't know many people who do watch it anymore. As I said, my parents, but that's pretty much it. Like, surely 80s and 90s and early 2000s, that is the prime where BBC is getting 10 million views on a Saturday, you know, that kind of era. They're not doing that so much anymore. They're not bringing out the banger programmes. When was the last time someone said, have you watched that on the BBC? I don't ever hear that. It's always, have you seen it on Netflix? Yeah, Matt's just said, he's in the across the room. Peaky Blinders is actually quite a good example, but still, like, that's one of the only ones anyone's ever said, have you watched that on the BBC? Rarely. Planet Earth, no, the newest Planet Earth 2, actually. That was a documentary. Or docuseries, sorry, but still. Yeah, but
I think, you know, there's His Dark Materials, there's Normal People, Line of Duty. Line of Duty, like, my friends watch a lot of BBC shows, but I don't know if that's because they are, like, slightly older than the average student age. So I don't know if it's whether after you're studying and you sort of, you're not in a student house anymore, maybe you do sort of watch more current TV things. I don't know, or maybe that's just my friends, but they watch a lot of, like, my friends watch, you know, Dr. Foster, Bloodlands, all that kind of stuff, Silent Witness.
In fairness, they are like at least 5 years older than students. Maybe it's when you turn 25, you go from Netflix back to the BBC.
Yeah, but I also think, like, you know, in these times, everyone's got so much time that I think people enjoy flicking between BBC iPlayer, Netflix, Amazon Prime. Like, it's nice to sort of have that choice because I get different feels from each one. Like, with Netflix, is the most sort of one that I, if I'm, like, feeling anxious or tired or don't want to concentrate much, I just whack something on Netflix that I know will just be an easy watch. Whereas Amazon Prime has more of the, you know, binge-worthy stuff that I want to pay attention to. And then BBC One just have the shorter sort of dramas or, you know, mystery type things. So I like the variety between them, but I know that means, obviously, there's an issue there because, you know, they're all sort of fighting for the top spot, aren't they? Before I forget, when you were saying about the Saturday night, you know, they want the viewers, that's been a problem for a while now, especially for, I know we're talking about BBC, but like other live TV channels like ITV, you know, X Factor, they're not doing that anymore. That used to be the watched show on Saturday night, you know, and I don't know what else, but people, like you said, people aren't bothered about live stuff anymore, even on a Saturday night.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree, and it is a problem for them. And, you know, as soon as those things aren't happening, they're not getting in the revenue as much, and then they can't create as good stuff on as good a budget, so it looks worse for Netflix, and so people stop watching it, and that's a horrible little cycle for them to get in. So that does pose a long-term worry, I think. They just got to hope that Netflix folds, and that does not look like it's going to happen. If anything, it looks like more streaming services are coming. And, you know, BBC at the top, they've had a big change of the guard. I think it was last year where a lot of the directors at the top changed because they needed some more modern ideas to try and change them. But we'll see, we'll see. Let's talk about the good stuff, though, in the last 15 minutes or so. Let's talk about the comedies. I feel like they are iconic. I'm thinking Gavin and Stacey. I'm thinking The Office. I'm thinking Blackadder. I'm thinking Fawlty Towers. I'm thinking Little Britain. I'm thinking The Thick of It. I'm thinking Miranda. I'm thinking all of that stuff. What is it about these comedies that make them different to others? or just or better or worse?
What do you mean by others? Are you talking like American or?
I'm talking, yeah, mainly American, because I think BBC, we talked a little bit about this last week, but I think mainly the BBC is British humour.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. And I think we touched on this last week when we talked about US sitcoms. You know, the key differences between American and British. And I think with the British humour, it's just so relatable. And I think there's that love for sort of the like self-deprecating comedy where we can just sort of, we can take the mick out of ourselves, can't we? And, you know, it's just, yeah, I don't know. What do you think?
No, yeah, I agree. I think the self-deprecation is definitely a massive, massive part of TV, you know, taking the mick out of yourself. That's what characters do all the time on BBC shows. There's a lot of cringe humour. That is a massive thing in British. The Office is in mostly cringe humour. And they're not afraid to do that for extended periods of time to really milk it. Some people don't like it. I don't particularly love it, but some people absolutely adore that kind of humour. And I think along with that, there are the British, these British comedies aren't afraid to take the mick out of like regions and like accents and things like that. You know, Little Britain is the easiest one to say about that. They have so many different sketches with so many different characters, all from every end of the UK. They're massive stereotypes, and then they're massive weirdos, and then, you know, there's all of that. And it's, you know, I'm the only gay in the village. That's like a well-known phrase. Everyone knows that. It's just a kind of iconic. And, you know, the Scottish guy, which you did an impression of last week. You know, these are all... Do you want to do it?
No, I don't want to offend anyone, no.
Shall I do my Little Britain one?
Yeah, I didn't know you had a Little Britain one.
Well, I've been doing it all the time.
Oh, yeah. if you think it's PC.
Why would it not be PC? He's not disabled. That's the point of the show. Is that he pretending to be disabled?
Okay.
It's his accent that's funny, but I don't think it's taking the mick out of anyone. I could be wrong. Sorry if it is.
Well, it's just because it was taken off Netflix, wasn't it? But I think.
Yeah, but I feel like that was taken off for like. Is that not taken off for racism purposes? I thought.
I'm not too sure. I think.
You know what? I won't do it to be safe. I don't want to get cancelled, particularly. But anyway, that's just an example of taking the mick. You know, there are like Chavs, Vicky Pollard, I think she's called.
Yeah.
Who's great. You know, just over exaggerations, but not in like an American kind of silly, ditzy, stupid way. It's a kind of, it has a certain cleverness to it. I feel like that's a very big trend among BBC and UK sitcoms, is that the jokes are clever. Not so much in Gavin and Stacey, but like in Blackadder, Fawlty Towers, Little Britain and stuff, they're quite nuanced. You have to really think about them. They're based on like double entendres or, you know, political kind of jokes, and you know, that's Thick of It's full of that. Like, you do that quite a lot of the thinkers that everyone might not get, but if you do get them, they can be hilarious. And you know, they're not slapstick, unless you're obviously talking about Miranda. I mean, they have it all. Gavin and Stacey, I know, is one we've both watched and we both enjoy. Let's sort of take the threads of all other UK sitcoms and kind of try to explain why we like Gavin and Stacey so much. And I'll sort of go first, and I'll say I like it because, as you touched upon, the characters are relatable. They're from Billericay and they're from Barry, which is in Wales. They're both working class families. You know, the ones in Barry, Stacey, what's her name? The Wests. They are, you know, on benefits and council and in council houses, I think, if I'm getting that wrong, I apologise. You know, they're very working class and bred that way, and they're relatable to a lot of people in, you know, around the country, that kind of a lifestyle. They very much, the West, are, you know, they're not luxurious. They are living well within their means, and they're quite humble in what they are. And the Shipmans are, you know, working, you know, they're working class from Essex, as I said before. And, you know, this is the dad, Mick, has clearly built himself from nothing to be, you know, he's quite a wealthy man, clearly, you know, built his own company, I think, by the sounds of it, worked his way quite high up in a company. And he's quite proud of it. And, you know, he likes more of the luxurious stuff, but it's not like cars. It's more like they'll splash out on the drinks and things like that in a nice house, which is very, very British, I think, rather than Americans who will splash out on fancy cars and things like that. So it's relatable. Everyone knows families like that and people that behave like that. Everyone has a friend like Smithy, who's just really weird and a bit clingy and just, you know, self-deprecating, but also quite proud at the same time. It's a lovely mixture of everything. You can see the insecurities, but at the same time, wants to defend themselves. And I just think it's all so true and stoked in reality, and not in the way that the US ones are, whether you can relate to like their ambitions and like they're kind of like slapstick humor. It's like, no, these are real world things that are happening for the most part. I don't know if that's your analysis of it.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with what you said there. And yeah, I think just sort of adding to that, you know, like Gavin and Stacey, they both, you know, they met through working in an office job and speaking on the phone. And, you know, so the fact that they just both have like regular 9-to-5 office jobs, and then, sorry, I've lost my train of thought. You know, you've got Uncle Bryn, who's the eager uncle. You know, oh, that's what I was going to say. What you said about the, you know, not being too bothered about the fancy cars, and instead spending money on other stuff. What came to my mind was when Mick bought the oven gloves, and then Pete was like, "Oh, they're not the oven gloves, are they?" And then he's like, "Oh yes, do you want to try them?" And it's like, it's such a simple thing, like oven gloves, but you know, the little comedy they make of it, it's just brilliant. And I think that is. You know, one of the great things that British humour can do is just take something simple and make it funny. Like you said, sometimes it's clever and you have to think about it, but other times it's more, you know, slapstick. But either way, yeah, I think what you said is true about them just being sort of normal everyday people, really.
And I think that applies as well to The Office. We know Ricky, we're not going to get too much into it because everyone knows about The Office, but The Office, everybody knows, everyone's either worked in an office or one of their close relatives have worked in the office. So everyone can relate to this program of, you know, the weird boss, the weird co-workers, the weird atmosphere, the cringe moments that can happen in the workspace. And it just, you know, Ricky Gervais was very much, when he was writing this, wanted to write something he knew, and he'd had this office job with this weird boss, and he wanted to sort of write that and create it into real world, onto the TV, sorry. And you can see that in everything. It's all so real. It's gritty. I mean, the way they write it, the way they film it, it's all real. There's not too much post-production the way there is in the US. In the US, they want to make it all look glitzy and glamorous and high quality and high production. And you know, these clearly are, How I Met Your Mother is not something that has happened to someone. This is just clearly a storyline with a room for the writers where you can really feel the writing coming through in the office. You can really feel the world experiences. And that means you can feel all the moments that you need to feel. You know, the really funny scenes I can think of, you know, the ones where Brent is doing the training video and he's just repeating exactly what the training guy is saying. What's his name? Oh, who's the guy? Who's the second in command guy? He's played by Mackenzie Crook. Can't remember exactly. But anyway, he is, he's just so like such a suck up, and everyone knows the suck up and like at work and just wants to get ahead. And he's a compulsive, like, seems like a compulsive liar. Again, everyone knows that. It's sort of the Jay from The Inbetweeners type affair. It's just so ridiculous, but also kind of a bit believable because There's always a weirdo out there like that. Just all those kind of threads that bring emotional responses with them. And I think, you know, BBC comedies are a masterclass in that. And I would actually say, thinking about it, that's their best asset for me, is the comedies. They might not be associated as much with the comedies, but I think that's their best.
Yeah, I know, I'd agree with that. There's nothing quite like British comedy.
No, definitely not. And Ella gets a phone call. I'm not going to cut it, but I just think it's funny. The professionalism on show. We really don't have long left, but like all the non-fiction stuff on the BBC as well, you don't think about MasterChef, Planet Earth, RuPaul's, BBC Panorama stuff. This is a lot of stuff, and it's good quality, I think. RuPaul's, everyone's talking about. Planet Earth, everyone talks about. MasterChef, a lot of people, you know, watch and talk about. These are all incredible TV programs, and I was just, when I went through it, researching this BBC, I was struck by how much good stuff they had put out, and that people don't necessarily, you know, attest to the BBC. And I think we do need to be more grateful because it is so good. And unfortunately, we ran out of time. I want to talk about a few more things. So we've been on, you know, the big debates. Is it worth it? You know, is this the future of TV? We've gone through our good stuff. We've gone through the comedies a little bit. You know, it's the BBC's heyday ended. You know, I want to talk a little bit about Sherlock and Doctor Who, but we can do that another time. Brilliant programmes. But I think what I'd like to leave the listeners with a little bit is that go back and look through the BBC catalogue, and you're going to find so much good stuff. And I think the licence fee, as much as it does get stick, I think, the beginning of the programme, I was throwing people off by saying, yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily worth it, but I think it's 100% worth it. You know, after hearing this programme, I hope you do too. You're thinking, oh, I'll go and watch that. You've really been thinking about the BBC programmes of your childhood and maybe of your adulthood as well. But I think most people do associate it with their childhood. And I know, like, my dad, for example, really associates it with, like, his childhood with, like, Fawlty Towers and that. So, yeah, I think that's got to be the end of the programme, unfortunately. We've been recording for a very long time. Are there any last words you've got, Ella?
No, I just keep thinking of more and more BBC shows that I like. So no, I don't want to ramble on. But I will say this. I've just thought of 2 pints of lager and a packet of crisps, and that's a great series, which takes me back. They're actually they're coming out with a new episode. The actor that plays Gaz, he is Lee Miller, I think. Is that his name? No, Meller. He's announced he's got the new show of 2 pints. So keep your eyes peeled.
There we go. That's the end of the show. I'll end it on a bit of news. So thanks, guys, and see you next week. We're going to be talking about true crime, hopefully. Trying to get everything into an hour as well. It's so difficult. So might cut down the news a little bit next week to get into the good stuff, you know. But that's it from us. Thank you, and thanks for listening. Bye.